Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are promising a lot of things at the moment. All you need to do is get onto your Instagram feed and you'll see that there's a lot of products that are out there for sale. Stay up late at night and you'll see a lot of products that are available to lose some weight or to grow your hair or whatever. Maybe I should try a little bit of that. But how many of us know that many of those things do not work? Or if they do work, they probably don't work the way that they are saying that they work. And we are living in an era where a lot of people are making a lot of promises about a lot of things. Some of you may have received the email scams that flood the earth about you having some type of inheritance and you've got some cousin or grandpa or uncle who has left you millions and millions of dollars. And wouldn't it be great if those things were true? But we often find that they are not true and it's just simply a scam. You know, it wasn't too long ago I was basically selling some tables and chairs and I'd put them up on Gumtree. And so someone responded and said, hey, I would like to take those chairs. Thank you very much. And I said, sure. And they said, oh, look, just one thing. I live in a different state. Some of you have experienced this. I live in a different state. And could you please ship them there? I'll also give you the money for them to do that. And so I said, look, sure, whatever. I was unaware of a potential scam. And then they basically sent me the receipt that they had put the money into my bank account and that everything was ready to go. I just needed to put the money that they had sent me, I needed to put some of that money into their bank account. Well, lo and behold, I was literally about to do it. I was honestly about, and some of you are losing respect for me because I got sucked into that, but it just all looked so real. And I was about to push the button and then something inside me said, just double check this. And so I got onto my bank's website and I had a quick look. And there was no money in there whatsoever. So they had fully forged a document to make it look like that they had paid. And I was honestly that close to sending them $800, I think it was. You know, it's so easy to be scammed. And, you know, when we look at some of the statements that Jesus made while he was on the earth, you know, they can easily fall into the scam category. You know, when someone would have heard some of the things Jesus said, and then went home and told their parents what Jesus had said up on the mountain, I think some of them would have said, well, I think that's a little bit too good to be true, son. You know, he said some amazing things, but how do we know that we can trust those words of Jesus? While he was on the earth, how do we know that he knows what he's talking about? Well, come Resurrection Sunday, there are some passages here that I love reading. And it's in Matthew 28, verses 5 to 6. It says, the angels said to the women, these are the women who had gone down to the tomb to put some spices on Jesus, what they thought was going to be dead body. And the angel says to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Do you know what Easter means to me? Do you know what the Resurrection Sunday means to me and to you? It means that if Jesus said that he was going to rise again, and he did just as he said, then that means we can trust everything that Jesus had to say, whether it sounds too good to be true or not, whether it's small or large, we can trust the words of Jesus because he went for the top. The greatest thing that he said that he was going to be able to do was to die and rise again. I don't know about you, but I personally don't know anyone that has died and then raised themselves up to life again. Jesus said, I am going to do this. And if he did it and he kept his word, then we know that he can keep his word about everything else that he has said and promised us. And come on, right there where you are, why don't you give Jesus a bit of a hand clap? Because I think this is amazing. But I know that some of you watching today, a friend has sent you this link and some of you are thinking, but did he rise again? Well, you know, the Bible has got just many witnesses that would tell us that, well, for example, do you know 550 people were said to have seen Jesus. Now, these people were still alive while the Gospels were being written. They wouldn't have allowed a Gospel to be written about Jesus rising from the dead and that people had seen him if they actually had not seen him. Look, I suppose one of the questions is, who would have moved the body of Jesus? If Jesus didn't rise again, who would have moved him? Well, the obvious answer is, it's the disciples. They just wanted to start a new world religion or something along those lines. Well, I've got to tell you, a dead corpse doesn't really inspire people to lay down their lives. Did you know that every one of the disciples laid down their lives except for John? Why would they lay down their lives, become martyrs, be killed for the gospel, for a corpse? No, my friends, they must have seen something. They must have experienced something. They must have talked to someone. They experienced that Jesus had actually come back to life. Did you know that if Easter didn't happen, if the resurrection didn't happen, did you know that Christmas really has no meaning? It simply then becomes a story of an obscure little baby boy born in an out of the way town in a forgotten country, and who grows up and does some great things with his life. That's all it means, really. But if the resurrection happened, then this child is very, very special. Did you know if the resurrection didn't happen, then Good Friday was not good. It was basically a misguided religious leader with good intentions who decided to lay down his life to help a few people. Friends, Good Friday is not good if there's no resurrection. Our world is full currently of uncertainties and fear right now. And there's lots of people that are asking, and can I be honest, I think it's a fantastic question to be asking, how will the world end? How will it end? And did you know, we aren't the only people that are asking that question. I think people right around the world are asking that question at the moment, and they have been for a long time. That's why apocalyptic films are box office hits, if you're not aware of that. You know, there's films like from a few years ago, there was The Day After, and then there was the sequel to that. It was literally called The Day After Tomorrow. And then there's the one after that. It's The Next Day After Tomorrow. Only joking. What about I Am Legend, which is about a pandemic and there's only one man left on the face of the earth that's actually still got his faculties? Recently, there's one called The Bird Box by Netflix. Some of you have seen that film. It's about people who when they leave their home, they see something, and when they see this particular thing, they then want to kill themselves. It's actually a very, very interesting film. Helen just watched it recently and scared the living daylights out of it. Apparently, there's a part two to that film, and they actually reveal what it is that people were looking at that was killing them, making them want to kill themselves, and apparently it's a Collingwood football jumper. Gotta love me, guys. Gotta love me, okay? Just joking. Do you know, people have got a lot of theories as to how the world will end. A whole lot of theories. Some people think it's going to be the 5G network. Others think it's the particle accelerator that's being built, where they're trying to collide two particles together to create a black hole. Don't know why they would try and do that, but they are. Some people think it's going to be the super volcano explosion from Yellowstone National Park. Some people think it's going to be Planet X, which is a big planet that's heading toward our Earth. And some people think it could be COVID-19. Let me tell you something right here and now. Nothing is going to happen to this Earth until the one who made it says it should happen. That's the absolute truth. When it's time for this Earth to be wrapped up, it'll be God who calls the shots. And if Jesus rose from the dead, just as he said, then the world should end just as he said as well. Do you know, I've got a couple of scriptures here for us, because some of us aren't even aware of what Jesus taught the disciples. So Jesus taught the disciples, and the Apostle Peter wrote down what Jesus said. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything and everything done in it will be laid bare." There's nothing in there about a virus, friends. So listen, we need to just calm our hearts. Our God is in control. And if Jesus said that he was going to die and rise again, and he did it just as he said, that's what we are remembering today, then I think we can take all of his words and we can believe them and we can face an uncertain tomorrow because Jesus says that he has overcome the world. Come on, we all know this scripture, John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He wants us to have peace. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. No doubt about it, we are experiencing trouble. But he says, but take heart, guys, because I have overcome the world. We can trust these words. Do you know, if we're going to trust the words of Jesus, then there's a whole lot of other things that we can trust that honestly, they sound too good to be true. But if he's raised himself from the dead, then I think we can believe these words as well. Jesus said, friends, when I die on that cross, I'm going to be taking all of your sins and I'm going to be paying the price for them so that you do not have to be accountable to God for your sin. Oh, that sounds a bit too good to be true. Well, it is if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That's why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 16 and 17, he says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then that means Christ has not been raised. Listen to what he says. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. That's if Christ has not been raised, you're still guilty of your sins. But what if he has been raised? If he has been raised, then that means we are not guilty of our sin anymore. What great news that is for you and for me today to know that we are not guilty of our sin. That God is not looking at us with a big stick and just looking to beat us. Come on, we've made some mistakes, friends. Some of you are not very proud of your past. And from time to time, the enemy comes along and he talks to you about things that you may have done or said. And he tries to make you feel guilty. And some of you are thinking, yeah, but I don't think it really affects me. Well, it does, friends. It cripples us. It cripples us from being the people that God wants us to be. You know, there's a story in Matthew 9 when a man was being lowered before Jesus and the man was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. In verse 2, it says, some people brought him, a paralyzed man, on a mat. It says, and seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, listen to what he says, be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven. Hey, I just would have thought Jesus would have said, hey, listen, get up off your mat because there's something wrong with your legs. No, according to Jesus, sin is what paralyzes us. And let's be honest, it does. The guilt of our past often will determine the success of our future. And so, come on, we need to be free from our past. If Jesus has risen from the grave, then that means when he said, hey, guys, I'm going to die on a cross so I can pay the price for your sins. If he didn't rise from the grave, then he was just a talker. But because he did, we know that it is completely true. I remember when I was just a very, very young man with a lot of hair on my head. And, you know, does anyone remember tuck shops? Does anyone remember canteens? You know, as a young boy, I used to have to go over and go pick up a milk crate full of all the people's food and bring it back over to my class. Now, I'm going to tell you this story, but please don't judge me too heavily. But I was in grade 6 at the time, and I was waiting for the lunches to be made, and the ladies at the tuck shop they piled up a whole lot of $1 notes. That's how old I am. They piled up a whole lot of $1 notes in front of me on the counter. And, you know, I was a nice little young boy, raised well, but something came over me and I just thought, I think I could steal one of those $1 notes. So as the ladies looked away, quick draw McGraw here, reached out and I grabbed a $1 note and I just took it and I put it straight into my pocket. I don't know what made me do it, but that's what I did. Well, I was quite proud of myself as I left that canteen. But did you know that day, I honestly felt like there was a separation between me and God. You know, in my classroom, I went to a good Catholic school, and in the classroom, there was a picture of Jesus. I'm telling you, he was eyeing me off all day. I could swear he was eyeing me off all day. That picture, I just couldn't escape those eyes all of a sudden. You know, honestly, did anything happen to that picture? Did it come alive? No. It was just my guilt, and guilt can do that. But this Easter, we remember that Jesus has forgiven us of all our sins. What's it saying? Colossians chapter 2, it says, he cancelled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Some of you are thinking, oh, but I've got to be honest, sometimes it still feels like my sin is there and it still feels like God's against me. And you know, has anyone ever heard of this phenomenon? It's actually called the phantom limb syndrome. And what phantom limb is people that have unfortunately lost a limb either through a car accident or war or whatever it may be. So someone that used to have an arm but now no longer has an arm, did you know that they actually sometimes still have the sensation of feeling their fingers in the fingers that they do not have? Sometimes they actually feel like they've got a sore knuckle or their thumb is hurting or it's throbbing. But the thing is, friends, they don't even have a thumb. So what's going on there? Well, quite simply, their brain is just remembering the past. And did you know that if our brains can do that in regards to a limb, did you know your brain can also do that in regards to your past and the way you used to live and the things that you used to do and say? Sometimes our brain can do that, but we need to just recognize that Jesus has cleansed us and that we can walk freely knowing that God is for us and he's not against us. Amen. So what other things did Jesus say that we can trust, knowing that he said it, and if he said it, then it's going to happen? Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus says, friends, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, he says, you can move mountains. And then he ends up by saying, he says, and nothing will be impossible. What are you thinking about right now in your life today that if you think about it, you think, oh man, it's impossible. It is impossible. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe you know of a loved one who has some type of addiction going on in their life. Jesus said, friends, that he came to set the captives free. Yes, I know, but no one seems to be able to overcome this particular problem. Well, friends, we serve the God of the impossible. What about your relationships, going around the same tree over and over again with the same issues and you're thinking, I just think this is the way it's going to be forever? Well, friends, even in our relationships, he is the God of the impossible. Come on, there's people that we love and we're hurting for them because we think that they're going down a road that is going to be so destructive for them, but we serve the God of the impossible. If he stayed true about the words of his resurrection, then I think we can trust him. You know, there are some young couples right now and you're honestly believing it's impossible for you to buy your own home, especially in this season and this economy. Is it impossible? Well, great news. We serve a God who says that he is the God of the impossible. What about starting a new business? Oh, not during this season. Well, let me tell you, there are people who are, and they are flourishing actually during this season. Starting new businesses or resurrecting a business that may look like it's going down the wrong road and it's looking like it's going to die. Well, thank God we serve a God who raises dead things to life. Come on, what about some of you just need a job and you're thinking it looks like it's impossible for me to get that job? Well, you know, Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. That's what the thief is trying to do. But Jesus says, but I've come to give, he says, my purpose is to give you and me, a rich and satisfying life. So let me just ask you, what do you need from God right now that would make your life rich and satisfying? What do you need that is godly and noble that would make your life rich and satisfying? Well, according to Jesus, he says it's his purpose to bring that into your life. And some of you are saying, I just need my needs met. Like, I don't even want much. Well, isn't that beautiful that he says that God takes care of us like he looks after the sparrows? You know, God knows your needs even before you open your mouth. We can trust these words, friends. Why? Why can we trust them? Because if Jesus said that he would die and rise again, and he did it just as he said, then we can trust these words too. Do you know something that I don't speak about much, but I think it's very true? Did you know that some people have got an incredible fear of death? Like it grips their soul. Did you know that the writer of Hebrews says, he says that Jesus, he says, only in this way could he set us all free, all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Do you know there are people who are slaves to the fear of dying? Do you know we don't need to have a fear of dying, friends? We don't need to have a fear. Jesus said in John 8:51, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. What does that mean? We're never going to die? No, what it means is, do you know that there's going to be a day when those who love Jesus will just simply close their eyes and breath will leave their body, and you will open your eyes in a split second and you will be with Jesus. Do you know, you really get this tested, and you'll know whether you believe this when you're in an aeroplane and there's massive turbulence. I was flying from New Zealand to Australia one day, and my goodness, the turbulence was incredible, and not in a good way, by the way. And I honestly was thinking, this plane is going down. Did you know, I had the thought, what if I did die right now? How do I feel about that? Now, of course, I've got children and many loved ones, and I don't really want to go home, but I've got to tell you, there wasn't a fear there. It was like, God, if this is my time, it's okay. And I was a bit shocked by that response, because I just think I'm convinced more than ever that if that was to happen, that I would close my eyes and I would open my eyes and I would be with Jesus. Some people say, I'm afraid of snakes. You're actually not afraid of snakes. You're actually afraid of dying by the venom from the bite of the snake. Some people say, I'm afraid of heights. You're actually not afraid of heights. You're afraid of falling and then dying. You know, some people are so depressed about death that it kills them. Friends, if we serve a God who was able to die and rise again, then we can trust that the day that we die, we will be with him. We will open our eyes. We don't need to have a fear of death. Did you know there's a story of a father, and he's in the car with his daughter, and there's a bee flying around in the car, and she was petrified because, you know, she hates bees, and I think she was allergic to the bee sting. And so she's crying out, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And so the dad grabs the bee and sort of cups it between his two hands, and then he holds it there for a moment, and then he releases it, and the bee begins to fly around again, and the daughter says, Dad, Dad. He says, Sweetheart, you don't need to worry about the bee anymore, because it stung me. And as we all know, once a bee stings, it can't sting twice. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, it says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Jesus has taken the sting out of death. We know where we're going. We know who loves us, and we know who's waiting for us on the other side of all this. Friends, I think the best part about all of this is that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, if Jesus has risen from the grave, then the Apostle Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He says, I want to know him and I want to know the power of his resurrection. Friends, if there's no resurrection, then there's no getting to know him. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God that we can know because he is alive? We're not praying to a grave. We're not praying to a tomb, that he can hear our prayers, because he actually is alive, friends. Friends, that's the good news of this resurrection, that Jesus said, just as he said he would rise from the grave, then we can trust every other words that he has spoken throughout the Gospels, throughout the whole New Testament, the words that he spoke to his disciples. We can look at those words and say, well, if that was true, then so is this. Have you ever wondered why the tombstone was rolled away? Really, Jesus could have walked straight through it, friends. Straight through it. He didn't need it to be moved away. Now, that stone wasn't moved away so that he could get out. That stone was removed so that we could come in. The disciples needed to see that he was gone, that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and we can now love him and serve him.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.